Welcome back to the Innovation Room. This is episode 5. We'll be going over digital networking strategies, tips, and ideas. This has become a very popular subject recently with all of our trade shows moving to that digital platform and being taken over by multiple different platforms, really. So there's not even a set thing we're going to. We have lots of questions regarding, you know, is it worth it if I go? What do I need if I'm going to go? And are you excited to talk about the topic?
I'm really excited. I think it's something that everybody wants to hear about, how to become that big player on these virtual trade shows.
Exactly. And everybody wants to get new clients and make more money. So
that's all, isn't it?
Yeah. Can't wait. Let's get into it.
So today we are talking about digital or virtual trade shows. And if you're like me or North American in general, we look forward to our trade shows every single year, something we prepare for a long time. We enjoy the networking. We enjoy meeting up with everybody in our industry. And it's just a really exciting time. So what we want to talk about is how do you make the same quality connections that we do in person virtually?
Yeah.
So that's a big question. Are they worth it? Is it something that we want to continue participating in? And what are the tips and tricks and tools that we've learned so far? So let's break this down into 3 parts of the show.
Yeah.
Pre, during, and then post show.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little bit first about the pre. First and foremost, what I would say is make sure that you are scheduling meetings pre-show.
Yeah.
Just like you would at a regular show.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that whether it be your current clients that you would normally see at a show or the prospects that you have, schedule those in person or face-to-face digital conversations that you would have, whether it be a coffee hour quickly or just that those breakout meetings that you would have normally. Also, make sure that you're sharing on all your social media pages that you're attending this virtual show. Again,
yeah.
Just like we would ahead of time. So you want to talk a little bit more about that, Dan?
Yeah, sure. So a lot of that, you know, up to now isn't very different from what you do for a normal right. show. But for the digital shows, we have a lot more, focus put on the content we have there because we have a virtual booth. And we don't have anything we can hand out in person or no in-person place to even be. So instead of your 1 to 2 maybe spots or ads you would run on LinkedIn, Facebook, whatever it may be, even Twitter and put it up on, you know, the forums, you need to now develop an entire strategy and plan with more in-depth content because you don't have your people there bringing people into the booth. You have your content bringing people into the booth. You have your videos or whatever documents you may be presenting. So I think there's a lot more that needs to go in that and you can't skimp on it. You need to
invest.
Yes.
Invest in the virtual booth.
Yeah.
And what does that look like? What does that look like for us?
For the last shows, we actually kind of built out a whole content package just for those shows specifically. We made a video that was kind of cheesy and funny with the guy stacking toilet paper on his head to, you know, get people to laugh or start up a conversation as soon as they enter our booth. And then we made some more content where, you know, we displayed our different types of signage and the products we manufacture and then a few case studies to show some stuff that we've been doing recently for some larger projects just to, you know, build that trust and the rapport with the prospect.
So you still want to, of course, entice the person to stop at your booth or entice your prospects to stop at your booth. And you always, just like you would, you want to create that experience. This time, instead of that face-to-face, they have to engage in a different way. The video is a really good example of that. You know, sometimes people want that extra visual or maybe a product demonstration or a commercial. Whatever you can, invest that time, energy, and effort into that booth. Now that we've talked a little bit about pre-show and the differences of doing that live or virtually, let's talk a little bit about how we can become that big player on these virtual shows. How do you make your time and effort worth it?
Yeah.
So we've come up with a couple tips, I guess, you know, like I said, that plan of attack. And one thing that we would suggest is not multitasking. Don't have your sidebar work while you're engaging in the virtual show or participating in the virtual show. Don't work on your other stuff. Just like you would on a normal show, you're not going to be sitting there in the booth, typing on your laptop, scrolling through your phone, you know, or doing other things. Same goes for the virtual show. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you want to expand on that a little bit more, but.
Yeah, sure. Well, it's just really your full dedication that you would put into the show prior. You need to do the same for this. You need to attend everything you can. You need to attend those speakers, those live events, educational sessions and things, which we'll get into that a little bit more. Some of these aren't all the same as they used to be in person. But when you're at a show, you're at a show. You know, you're from morning till night. You're at your speaker in the morning. You're at your floor all day. You're at dinner. Then you're at the party. Whatever it is, all day long, you're invested. And you need to do the same during this show.
Just like you wouldn't stop at a booth if you're somebody's sitting down scrolling through their phone. Same thing with this. Make sure you're engaged. The other thing that I would suggest is make sure that you get involved in all of the networking events that the show puts on.
Yes.
So if they have Q&A sessions, look at the topics ahead of time. Come up with a question. Make your presence known. You know, engage with the other participants. If they have the happy hours, don't skip the happy hour. You wouldn't want if you were at the trade show. Don't skip it here. And like we've discussed, that sometimes at the happy hours, they're a little pared down, so you don't have that huge group. You can actually see the people and you can get a word in every now and then. You can engage in network like you would in person. Happy hours, also the breakout rooms are fantastic.
Yeah, if the organization's running these correctly and there's a large amount of people, they'll typically do breakout rooms and have, you know, a few people from the organization kind of just run each room. And then you can still, you know, have a good discussion and not have, you know, everybody talking over each other.
Absolutely. So get involved. Get involved. Make your presence known. The other thing is having a event within an event.
Yeah.
Within the event. Excuse me. So what does that mean?
It means that if you know a lot of people, you can orchestrate this event with all those people you know and bring others in. Or if the organization is maybe not doing like the best of the job organizing these happy hours or these roundtables and these Q&As, take it upon yourself to go and, you know, organize this thing on your own. You have your boards, your messaging system or forums, whatever they may be for that platform. Use, reach out to these people, go to LinkedIn, you know, connect with them on LinkedIn, reach out, schedule a coffee in the morning before the next day. Schedule
coffee hour.
Yeah, virtual coffee hour is probably just as exciting as normal coffee hour. You know, there's not a whole lot, but everyone's kind of tired.
Yes. Advertise, you know, put on for your booth, put a webinar on that they can register for later on. So not necessarily during the trade show, but even continuing an event after the trade show that they can be involved in. But we've all been invited to after hours events at the trade show hosted by all different companies. Mm-hmm. And I know that we've enjoyed it. Again, that's just that continuing to network and continuing to get to know others in the industry, your prospects, and why can't you do it virtually? Same exact thing. So try it. Another thing is use the private messaging. What's that mean, Dan? We've discussed this.
So your platform is open for 3 days, 5 days, whatever that may be. And if you're reaching out to all your prospects and all of your new contacts and you're doing all your networking through the platform's messaging system, you're most likely going to lose all of those messages afterwards.
Right.
They still provide your kind of like, you know, exported lead list like any show would typically do with the name, number, email. But you might have had a conversation for 20 minutes with somebody and now you've lost that entire conversation because you're usually not allowed back into this platform. So going outside of that into LinkedIn allows you to keep that record of that conversation and then go back to it and continue it after the show.
So you utilize all tools that you can, not just necessarily the ones within the platform. And not all platforms are created equal, we've learned.
Yes,
so
some are very different.
Some are very different. Some have a lot of useful tools. Others are more bare bones. So depending on each platform for each trade show, you kind of have to adapt to what you need outside of the platform itself.
Yeah, I think they'll do a better job moving forward as well, you know, letting people know what to expect. The initial events that kind of transpired were very rushed, it seemed, and platforms were being built from scratch. And
yes.
It made it a little more difficult to try to prepare in a shorter amount of time.
I'm interested to see actually how they evolve as we get into this even deeper and have more trade shows, and who's going to put on virtual trade shows, and what platforms are we going to, you know, a lot of people for the video conferencing, it was all different video conferencing. Now a lot of people are on basically three main video conferencing platforms. So what's that going to look like for the virtual trade shows in the future? And is this something that's going to continue even after the pandemic is done? And, you know, is that something that maybe we're going to see more virtual trade shows. Maybe we have the in-person trade show once a year, but more virtual trade shows throughout the year. So I don't think this is going to go away. I think we need to continue to revamp our virtual trade show playbook.
Yeah. Virtual events in general, I think, absolutely, are going to be very popular moving forward for, you know, years to come. A lot of companies realize, you know, we can host these events, and they've spent this time building kind of an audience and, I guess, the reputation and trust and all that with everybody. So why not keep doing it?
Right, right, absolutely. So last but not least, of course, is the post show. Mm-hmm. It doesn't end when you shut your computer off, just like it wouldn't end when you leave the show and fly back home virtually. But one thing that we're noticing is there's a lot of talk between the people that attended and exhibited, some discussion that we, I guess, wouldn't normally have as much afterwards. And we're seeing, because it's so new, a lot more of this discussion take place. But sit down with your team, of course, figure out what worked, what didn't work, what would you do next time in a virtual trade show? What did other exhibitors do that was really neat, unique, you enjoyed? So again, continuing to revamp and adapt to this new version or this new way of life for trade shows.
Yeah, and if you have any team members that were there when you first started attending trade shows as a company, or that maybe are running the team, look to them, because they did this just for in-person trade shows, which we've all seen that evolve over the years into different things. So you're just kind of, you know, taking a step back and starting that process over again in a way.
Right. Another thing is that on your virtual booth, in the resource section, make sure you take advantage of allowing the digital downloads, you know, that they can take with them, and what the next step or the call to action would be. Yeah. Sometimes I think that was missed, and we've seen that. So make sure you have those next steps present there so they know exactly what to do and it's easy for them. Mm-hmm. So now that we've went through all that, I mean, what would you say the best three main tips that we've discussed?
I'm gonna give you two.
Two. All right, give me two.
So using private messaging tools to connect with potential leads during the sessions, but outside of the platform, I think is one of the main things you want to focus on, because like I said, you know, those conversations are important. A lot of the ROI from this whole show is going into these leads, these connections, this networking. And if you're just throwing 5 days of conversations that are probably happening very quickly out to where you can't go back and look at them, I think it's a huge waste and a huge loss.
Right.
And then the second would be considering organizing your own events throughout the show, whether that be the webinar, the coffee in the morning, a lunch, a dinner, a happy hour, whatever you want to do, getting yourself away from that platform and then, you know, conversing with the industry and a new audience, and maybe building an audience for next year that you can go back to and have, you know, more connections at the show.
Maybe, who knows? I'm going to look forward to that event every year.
Yeah, it could be like the best thing to happen.
All right, absolutely. And I'll throw in the third biggest tip, I think, is making sure that you are plugged in to the show and only the show. Use your time that you have, and don't do outside work. Don't do other things, just like you would be fully invested in the show while you're there.
Yeah.
Do the same on the virtual platform as well. So I think those are our three main tips. I'm really excited to hear what you have to say as well. What are your best tips and practices if you've experienced some of these virtual trade shows? I really would like to know.
We are back, coming at you, not live, but through the power of the World Wide Web. And we're going to continue our discussion on digital trade shows, moving into ROI.
I'm going to talk a little bit more about building the right personal profile. Super, yep. Super important. And we're going to dive into that a little bit as well.
And I'm going to be frank, you can be Rhiannon, but I'm excited about this. The reason we want to be discussing this today for the most part is because what's fair? What's a fair price to pay for a digital trade show? It's something that's so new. We've been paying for trade shows or, you know, budgeting for trade shows for many years now, but this is a whole new space.
It's a whole new ballgame.
Yeah, you can't just say, well, we're going to charge you the same, because we can clearly see there are a lot of things that you can't do digitally that you can do in person. But there are other things that are, you know, that you're pros, I guess.
Right. There's things that are more beneficial, you know, having everything online, all that big data that you can collect, you know, that you can do online that you necessarily couldn't do in person. So there are definitely some pros. And some people would even say that more people attend the virtual shows because they don't have to travel.
Yeah.
So can you get a bigger audience or bigger attendee list, you know, that you can reach out to on a virtual show?
I think if the show is advertised correctly, sure, you should be able to draw a larger audience. Many digital platforms or digital shows that we see these days will draw in much more attention than, you know, a live concert and stuff like that, or viewership, I guess, at least, at the very least. So, you know, we have a big question here. What's a fair cost to pay? And then how do you determine if this is the right cost for this show? Lots of things go into this, but it's going to start with you looking at your previous data for your, you know, in-person shows to calculate your ROI. A lot of people don't do this, unfortunately. A lot of people do as well. So if you have that data, that's great. This is going to help you moving into this, and it's going to help you determine which shows are best for you. For an example, I'm going to use our industry, which is the industrial manufacturing industry. We're in, you know, visual communications and branding, but a lot of it that is kind of, you know, just lumped into manufacturing because we actually build the product in-house. Cost per lead on the very, very low end for us is like $33. On the very high end, we're at like $235. So fall in the middle there is usually where we want to be, about $150, $130 or something like that. And obviously you're not paying that a single thing at a time. Like, hey, I'm going to get a lead. You're paying one large lump sum, and then you're breaking it all down to make sure that you're not paying far too much for what's going to happen. You also want to look at how many leads did we generate at the events that we did last year.
Right.
You can grab an average and remember to remove the unqualified or possibly just your networking leads. Like, just because you got someone's business card does not mean they're a lead.
Does not mean they're a qualified lead, for sure. He got their information. Okay.
Yeah, so you want to remove all that from the equation and really look, you know, because you're just going to be lying to yourself in the long run and hurt yourself. But look at your qualified leads. So say you do a 3-day show and you pull 55, 60 leads, 30 of those leads are qualified. So by using the industry standard for ourselves, we would need to only pay no more than like $7,000 to have that be on the high end of our cost per lead where we want to cap out at.
Makes sense.
Anything under that, we should be game to attend that show, you know, after looking at what they're providing, what the schedule looks like.
Who's attending,
yeah, stuff like that. Industry standard for conversion rate for all trade shows is only 5 to 15%. So if you say I'm going to generate 30 qualified leads, you can only look to convert 5 to 15% of those at 1 to 4 new clients. $7,000 for 1 to 4 new clients for an industry like ours where we do large projects and things like that, it's not bad at all. But you have to really know all this math for your own company and then, you know, put that stuff all together before you go into this thing. Because if you don't, you're going to end up paying far too much for an event that's not worth it, or just not be prepared enough, or, you know, actually capture those leads and then convert them because you're not sure what you're supposed to be doing.
And this is a good topic and good discussion because the cost for shows virtually has been all over the board.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, since this is very new, we've even seen some in the free range or very, very, very low cost, all the way upwards to, I think you just said, maybe $20,000 you've even seen.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a wide range there that we're working with. So moving forward, trying to figure out what is that good average, what shows really pertain to us, what shows we're going to get that investment back out of, is very important. And it's very important to dive into and to make sure that when we line up those goals, that we're reaching those goals and we're getting that ROI back when we come home.
Yeah, and you need to make sure that, so a lot of trade show teams are sales and marketing. you both have to align though. So
you
can have two separate goals, but they've still got to align with that overall business goal. Because if you're calculating two separate ROIs, you're just going to be, you know, it ends up bad at the end of the year, and you really can't tell how well or how successful an event was.
Are you saying that sales and marketing really need to work together for trade shows to work?
Yeah, like peanut butter and jelly.
Like peanut butter and jelly. So what are things to consider with, you know, I guess to measure when you're at the show? How many hours we're spending, obviously, how many employees we're utilizing, we're taking their time out of something they can be doing and throwing them into the booth. Obviously, we are probably not spending as much time overall with a virtual event as we would an in-person event. So that's something to look at and consider. But also, you know, the interactions with each team member and how they have the interactions, how much time they are spent with each and every prospect as well. And to get those qualified leads. So anything you need to expand on there? Or
you may need to kind of reevaluate your cost per lead, because we are removing a lot of these costs. And so I guess you could reallocate the costs you spend on travel, dinners, all that kind of stuff, and then put that into, you know, hey, we're just going to set this over into, you know, booth space or digital booth space and compensate that way and make it all right to pay a little higher for a show. But you still want to make sure you're doing all that math first, because if you're just trying to reallocate costs and considering them savings and then, you know, not generating the same amount of leads possibly, because we're not sure how many leads we really generate yet. You know, we've done a couple, everyone's done a couple. You can't say, hey, it's going to be the exact same as it was. Your numbers in the end are going to still come out to be a higher cost per lead than you want or you're willing to pay for. You got to have your line.
Absolutely. So overall, let's kind of sum up this ROI. What is your biggest tip, or what do you really want to tell everybody to look for in regards to ROI moving forward with these digital shows?
From a marketing standpoint, if you're the marketer in your organization, really get your funnels and your systems and processes in line with the sales department if they're not fully. That's going to save you tons of headaches, because this isn't just a one-time thing. You're going to do multiple of these over the course of a year, and then you're going to need to take all the numbers from all of them, you know, and analyze all that data to come out with a, hey, we were profitable trade show-wise, event-wise for the year. This will help you make your decisions for the next year if you're deciding to go back to a show, or if you want to look at exhibiting at another show and, you know, seeing what those price points really are. Because 2021, I'm hoping that we can get back together, because I missed it this year, you know, but it's likely that we may still see some digital trade shows in the beginning of the year. And I don't think this is something that's going to completely just disappear and flip right back. I think it's going to kind of be a mixture for maybe 2021 and two.
Right. And reevaluating maybe even what shows we attend or go to completely. And maybe we may add a few more to our list that we wouldn't normally do, because we have access to the virtual trade shows as well. So let's talk a little bit more now that we've talked about the ROI, personal profiles on digital trade shows and how important they are.
Yes.
And also something that we discussed was who you're sending or who you're having attending these virtual shows may even vary a little bit. Compared to who you would send to an in-person show. It takes a little bit of a different skill set. Some, you may have, you know, a list of five reps or five people that would attend that show. Maybe for a digital show, you can only send two or three. Sometimes the amount of people going to the shows is a little bit different. We've experienced that with the digital shows. So who you're choosing to participate in these shows from your company or your team may vary a little bit. Something to consider, you need to look at who is really good engaging and expressing themselves through messaging and through, you know, the email. So who's really good at that online content, that online, you know, communication back and forth, but also who's really comfortable at the video conferencing? Because I could be great in person. You and I having a conversation, I'm comfortable with it, I'm happy with it, it's fine. I'm in my comfy zone, but video conferencing as a whole, it's just a completely different area. So you're interacting with people and those facial expressions and everything, even though you're still seeing somebody face to face, it's a little bit different. It's a unique setting to get used to. So you may really want to evaluate that and choose somebody that is really comfortable and that you've noticed in your company meetings, your Zoom, you know, Zoom meetings that you have internally. Mm-hmm. Choose somebody that's really comfortable and thrives in that setting.
Yeah. Well, first impressions, how important are first impressions?
First impressions are everything. Absolutely. Yeah,
there's a saying about it. So if you think about it, you're flipping your first impression though. So generally speaking, at a show, your first impression is going to be a face-to-face conversation with somebody.
Right.
And then afterwards, maybe even later the next day, still at the show or the next week, they might visit your digital space and your digital you and profile and see everything. They're going to be less likely to judge you based on perhaps you have a misspelling or you have a low-lit photo or maybe not a huge list of credentials on your LinkedIn. They're not going to judge you as much because they have their first impression of you. And if they liked you and connected with you, they will look past a lot of those little things. But if that's the first thing they see, they may not really want to talk to you, or they may come into that with a whole different mindset through that conversation and already have, you know, a predetermined visual of who you are based upon
your digital profile. That's a really good way to look at it. And some, in a way that I didn't think about it prior to. First impressions are everything. And at a show, your personal profile, first and foremost, is your face. It's how you, it's how you talk to somebody. It's how you engage with them. It's how you connect with them. Mm-hmm. You don't get that chance necessarily on that digital platform because yes, they probably have already researched you before they jump onto that virtual meeting. They've already looked at your LinkedIn profile. They've already checked out everything, you know, all your other platforms. So that's a really interesting way to look at it and something to truly consider to make sure that that personal profile that you have laid out is good.
It's your personal brand too. We've heard other people talk about how important your personal brand is, your voice, your message. You don't have to be a company or an organization to have a message, a brand, and a voice that people will start to associate with you just through online and social media and things like that. So they'll start to build this, you know, ideal image or an image of you, and hopefully it's ideal. But
and through everything, through all of this, we've began to see how important that online profile presence is. Mm-hmm. So with that, tip number one, of course, is a selfie is not gonna work. We gotta have that professional business headshot. So if you don't have one, get one.
Yeah, unless it's your personality. Like if you're that really fun person and it's gonna match everything else, like sure, take a selfie on a roller coaster or a Ferris wheel or hanging out with the seal. I don't know, something that—
showing people who you are.
Yes.
But at the same time, I've seen some professional goods. I mean, selfies as well.
Sure,
you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You can show your emotion through a professional photo still.
Yeah.
And it may be even more of a lifestyle photo. We've had employees that on their business cards, instead of using the regular headshot, it was more of a lifestyle photo. Still very professionally done, mm-hmm. but showed a little bit more of their personality. And it worked really well. Actually, the person I'm talking about got tons of comments on her photo, you know, on her business cards.
Yeah.
And it was a talking point. So it was something that you can use to your advantage. Yeah. So really think about what your personal message and what your personal picture is going to be. Mm-hmm. And who do you want that to port? Who do you want to portray? You know, who do you want that to be? And you know, basically, what do you want people to see immediately? That personal flair, I guess.
Yeah, you want to be you, but you also want to be professional because not everybody has the same beliefs and the same opinions. So you don't want to come into a conversation with somebody that already doesn't like you and you have no idea why, and it's because of your photo on LinkedIn.
Right.
And, you know, you could say, well, I don't want to talk to them, but this is work. You probably still do. So
so another thing to think about, kind of vice versa, if they haven't looked at your social media profiles and they're just visiting the booth and you kind of have your online business card, mm-hmm. make sure you include your links to your personal social media, whether it be LinkedIn or whatever you want to link. Make sure that's an easy access so they can go right there from your booth at the trade show.
Yeah.
Because they all have those virtual business cards. So make sure you have that linked.
Yeah.
So they're going to reach out to you through social media profiles, and you really want to make sure those social media profiles are set up correctly, are set up in such a way that are engaging, are enticing, tells your personal story along with who you are professionally as well a little bit. We're going to link some resources on this video because we don't have time to go through the step-by-step how to make your LinkedIn profile amazing and perfect. And everyone is different, but we are going to link some or have some links for how to set up a really good LinkedIn profile, social media profile.
Yeah, there are lots of people that have gone through it, but these change all the time. Every year they're changing. What's important is changing. Algorithms are changing, all this stuff. So we took some time and we found what we feel is the best and the most user-friendly kind of walkthroughs to just make those improvements on your profile.
Right, absolutely. So last words of advice, be you, show your true self, show your own flair, but also make sure it's professional in the at the same way. It may be that one stop, that first impression that you don't get at a normal show.
Yeah, that's probably the best advice for the whole thing, so.
Digital trade shows. Let's go.
Yeah.
2020.
Hopefully not 2021. We'll see. Thanks for watching or listening. We've really enjoyed going over this topic today here with you, and we cannot wait till the next episode. Like always, we love to hear from anybody regarding what your thoughts and opinions are on this kind of content and what you would like to see in the future.
Don't forget to like, subscribe, do all that fun stuff. Love to hear from you.
Yeah, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time.